In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, do you all remember the series of movies sponsored by National Lampoon, starring Chevy Chase, the Vacation series? Do you remember those movies? There was, you know, Vacation, the original one where they went to Wally World, and then there was the European Vacation in England, and then there was my personal favorite, Christmas Vacation. And Tom and I rewatched it again this year. The main character by Chevy Chase is named Clark Griswold. And he's always very determined in these movies. And in Christmas Vacation, he was determined that his family would have the best Christmas ever. Now, there were some really goofy things that happened to that family during this movie, like they forgot their tools when they went to cut down a large Christmas tree. And Clark didn't get his Christmas bonus, and he'd ordered a big swimming pool for the backyard. And Cousin Eddie shows up with this huge driving RV and parks it on the street in front of their house. And Clark puts up 25,000 Christmas lights outside. And this led to some, you know, kind of weird stuff, misadventures happening. But at each turn of events, Clark would pick himself back up and continue to try to carry out his dream of the best holiday ever. Sometimes he got angry or maybe even a bit discouraged, but he had some innovative solutions. He actually uprooted the Christmas tree without tools. And Cousin Eddie kidnapped Clark's boss. And there was a citywide power shortage. The SWAT team showed up at their house. And there was a sewage explosion in the storm drain. But Clark was ever hopeful and was a great encourager for his family that it all would work out. And one thing that could be said for Clark Griswold was that he had staying power and perseverance. Because in all the movies in the series, he was determined that there would be the best vacation or Christmas ever. And he stuck with his dreams, even though they didn't always turn out the way he'd planned. I mean, there was a closed amusement park when they tried to go visit it in Wally World, and they got stuck in that roundabout in London, and hey kids, there's Big Ben again, you know. But none of it ever seemed to deter Clark Griswold. So I think that today's gospel is also about staying power, and not necessarily about getting results like Clark did, but about the real staying power that comes from God. John the Baptist had staying power. His whole job, his whole dream was to preach about the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And he had done that when the religious leaders sent people to question him about who this Messiah was. And in this gospel, John tells about seeing the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining and staying on Jesus. Here's the context of this story today. It focuses on the retelling of two key moments, that of the baptism of Jesus and the calling of the first disciples. Last week, we heard the story of the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John. And next week, we'll hear again of the calling of the disciples, but they're both from the perspective of Matthew's gospel. So the story today is in the center of both stories, but it's told from the perspective of John's gospel, which gives a first-person reflection, that of John the Baptist, about the baptism of Jesus. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him, and I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. In today's story, two disciples of John the Baptist hear him proclaim about Jesus being the Lamb of God. They seem to be merely curious, but something makes them go, and they literally follow Jesus. Jesus turns around and sees him and says, "What are you looking for?" They call him rabbi or teacher, but it's odd that these two disciples don't say they are looking specifically for Jesus, or they're looking specifically for a new job or a new life. So they don't really answer Jesus' question. Instead, they ask a question. Where are you staying? Jesus then tells them to come and see where he is staying. And once they did that, they remained with him that day. Now, you could take this at face value. They wanted to see, you know, maybe which Airbnb he was staying in, and maybe it was great. So they stayed with him. Or maybe the food was better there, I don't know. But I think there's something else here. Coming to Jesus and following him is one way to describe our faith. But seeing where Jesus actually stays, rests, and abides can give us deeper insight and faith. I love, as you most of you know, I love word studies, but I love the Greek word for staying that is used throughout this passage and also in the rest of John's gospel. It's meno, and it translates as abide or stay or remain or rest. And it describes a relationship with Jesus that is deep and forever, not trivial or passing or merely physical. So when the disciples asked, "Where are you staying?" I believe they are also asking about Jesus' own staying power, because John the Baptist has already testified to the Spirit remaining on Jesus. Where does this Jesus stand? What does he stand for? Where does he abide? And this story is about abiding and remaining. It's about living or dwelling in someone or something that has staying power and permanence. Jesus has that deep and abiding relationship with the Holy Spirit and gives it to his disciples and to us. And Jesus says later on in this gospel, "Abide in me as I abide in you. You will abide in my love just as I abide in my Father's love." The whole gospel of John teaches us that Jesus' abiding place is in God. So, of course, Jesus invites them to come and see just where it is that he stays, because the disciples really have no idea about a relationship with Jesus at this point, about its staying power, about the Lamb of God, or anything else. They have just heard John call Jesus this. Their curiosity seems to get them as Jesus continues to engage with them. And if they spent any time at all with him that day, then they heard his invitation to abide with him. They experienced firsthand his demeanor, his love, his staying power. They found out that where he stands is in the grace of God, in the love of God, and in a relationship that remains and endures. And so they followed him, not just that day, but forever. This wasn't easy, of course, and it isn't easy for us, but the invitation to us is clear: come and see. Come and see what happens when you too abide in Jesus and in God's love. Come and see what happens when you share that staying power with others. Come and see what happens when you share that love with others. Come and see what happens when you listen to what the Spirit is saying and watch what the Spirit is doing in your life and in the lives of others. Tomorrow, we celebrate the life and ministry of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He was a man with staying power. He had a dream of freedom and equality taking the place of hatred and racism, and who tried to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And this dream remained with him until the day he tragically died. But his dream was the kind that had staying power because it came from God, and it remains to this day. Many others have had that kind of staying power that it takes to work toward a relationship and a future that is God's. I think of Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela in South Africa and the end of apartheid. And I think of others who advocated for the unification of Germany, which resulted in the Berlin Wall coming down. And I think about the staying power of famous scientists like Sir Richard Fleming, whose breakthrough on penicillin has benefited the health of millions, and Francis Collins, who's discovered the genes that are associated with a number of our diseases and who has led the Human Genome Project. And I think about a friend's dad, whom she wrote about recently, who has always encouraged his family. He's encouraged his family to have staying power in all that they tried, and who celebrated each victory with them every step of the way. And now she writes to encourage him as he nears the end of his life with echoes of his own words to his family, "You can do this." And I think about Bishop Curry preaching on the staying power of the way of love. The one on whom the Spirit rests and with whom the Spirit dwells is the place of God's abiding and rest and remaining, the place of real staying power. The story is about calling and witnessing, but also about seeking and abiding. And we're invited to trust and continue to return to the great love as our own source, our own place. And from the very beginning of the Gospel of John, it is clear that Jesus pitches his tent among us as the Word made flesh. Jesus stays with us and is with us from the start. He doesn't offer much information to us to satisfy our curiosity. He merely offers us the invitation to a relationship with him, with God, one that has staying power and abides. He offers us the chance to come and see. Is there a place in your life or in the lives of others where you could use some divine staying power? Is there a place of real rest and abiding that might be needed for you? Is the good news of Jesus's love and staying power good news for you too? Because we all need someone or something or a place with staying power in which to dwell. Not to have the perfect holiday or vacation, but to have the life that receives and bears love, the life that is healed and renewed. If so, this is the invitation for all of us today to come and see, whether out of curiosity or conviction, where Jesus is staying and abiding, and to hang out with Jesus for a while, to try to be that place for others in need, to love as we have been loved, to forgive as we have been forgiven, to host as we have been hosted, to abide in Jesus as he has abided in us, to share God's dream as God's dream has been shared with us, to become people with the staying power of Jesus. Craig Satterley once wrote, "Jesus invited us to come and see Jesus, and we see. We see that the Word made flesh, the one baptized at the river, becomes the healer of the sick, the friend of the outcast, the herald of good news to the poor." So, my friends, if we stick with Jesus as he sticks with us, much fruit will be born. Let us pray. O God of great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow from our deep connection with you and all beings. Help us become a community that vulnerably shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Hear our hearts' longings for the healing of our world, and help us to be your staying power partners, your hands and heart and feet in the world today. Amen.